And we're holding on Kazayan Umud Bays by the two dots, by the two dots near the bottom, 11 lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah a couple of cases where a woman, when she wants to collect her ksuba, has to, or she wants to collect anything, whether we're going to talk about in the Gemara about whether we're talking about ksuba or mezonos. Anyway, but primarily in the Mishnah, we're talking about her ksuba. Anyway, so she wants to collect. There are certain cases where she's going to have to take a shvua, and one of them is if we said if she said that she was paid part of it, that was pegemis ksubasa. We talked about that in the Gemara before. And another one is eda chon meida shi prua, if one aid testifies that she's been paid off. So the Gemara says, Sova Rami Bacham Lamema Shvur Daraisa. Rami Bacham thought to say that this is a Shvur Daraisa. We had a similar thing in the first part of the Mishnah when it came to the one where Pegemas Ksubasa, where also we said he thought it was Daraisa and Rava slugged him up. And here we're going to do the same thing. And of course, you have the same question: what was Rami Bachama thinking? And the answer that the Ritva gives, that he didn't mean it was actually a Shvur Daraisa. He just meant that it's done similar to a Shvur Daraisa. And Rava is clarifying that in fact it's Dirabanan. But anyway, so we start out that Sava Rami Bachama Lamema Shvur Daraisa. He thought to say the Shvur over here is Daraisa. Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, La Yakum Eid Echad Beish L'chol Oven L'chol Chatas. The pasuk says one aid is not allowed to stand up against a person as far as any avera or as far as any sin, meaning, in other words, to punish him or to require him to pay money or whatever. And we learn from that, from that pasuk we learn, since it says that one aid is ineligible to testify that the guy should be chayiv misa or malkos or momon or anything like that, but the implication is that he could stand up against the person, and the result is that that person will have to take a shavua, even if otherwise he would have been potter. And we have another rule that we learn in a braisa, whatever case where two aidim would have been machayiv him to pay money, then one aid, if there's only one aid for the same thing, then instead he's going to have to take a shavua. So the same thing over here, if the husband had two aidim, that she had been paid the ksuba, then that's it. Then she wouldn't have any further claim. So therefore, one aid should have to make her swear. So Rami Rachama thought to say that we're talking here a shvur daraisa on that basis. Omar Rava state churas v'davar, and Rava says, like what we had before in Rami Rachama's earlier statement at the top of the Amud, there are two refutations to that. Number one, every shvur in the Torah is only to swear and then not pay as a result of that. All the cases in the Torah, there are three of them, where a person takes a shvur is in order to be potter from paying. In the case of Eid Echad over here, it means where Reuven is saying you owe me $100. Shimon is saying I don't. But there's one aid that says that he does owe it. Then if he takes that shvur, then he's potter. In this case, we're talking about her swearing in order to collect. That has to be a shvur d'rabbanan. Second of all, there's no shvur on a shibud that on a denial of a case that involves shibud of karka, which a ksuba has, a ksuba features a shvur on karka. So therefore, that's another reason it can't be a shvur daraisa. In fact, Tosfos gets into an interesting discussion over here of is it in fact about this whole matter of kfira. This whole matter of when a person denies a claim, that in some cases we make them swear, and in some cases not, is there a complete equation between modu b'miktzas and eid echad? By modu b'miktzas, we learned in the Gemara yesterday that it wouldn't apply to karka. Is that in fact the case with eid echad? So Tosfos discusses that a little bit. The point is that Rava says, so you can't say that it's daraisa. Ela amar Rava midrabanan. So Rava says, no, actually the shvur over here is only midrabanan. Kedei lahofis daite shobal, just in order to make the husband feel better. He's claiming, after all, that he paid her. So the Chachamim are going to say, you know what, you know what we say to the wife, you want to claim you weren't paid yet, then go ahead and take a shavua. Not because you'd be chayav to daraisa. On a daraisa level, we would have said that, we would have said, you know what, you have a ksuba in your hands showing that you haven't been paid. Therefore, we have every reason to believe you. But still, the guy is claiming that he paid you. Take a shavua just to make him feel better. So the Gemara says, Omar of Papa, Ipikeahu. So the Papa says, if the husband is smart, he would actually have a way of bringing her to have to swear a shvur daraisa. Now, what's the difference? How does he gain if he gets her to swear a shvur daraisa? So Rashi says that the difference is a shvur daraisa would involve an actual name of Hashem and holding a sefer Torah. Whereas a shvur derabanan would just be, they would say that Beis Din would say if this claim is not true, then the person should be orur, the person should be under a curse from Hashem or something like that. So the husband may want to make her swear a shvur daraisa because that's much more serious and maybe that'll dissuade her from doing it in the first place. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, and so do many other Rishonim, and they say that there's no difference in that regard between a shvur derabanan and a shvur daraisa. Both of them involve Hashem's name, and both of them involve holding a sefer Torah. In fact, Tosfos points out that Rashi himself, in a different Gemara in Gittin, also says the same thing as what Tosfos is saying over here, that it does involve that a shvur derabanan does involve mikidas chayfetz, does involve holding a sefer Torah or whatever. So Tosfos gives other explanations what would be the husband's advantage of making her have to swear a shvur daraisa. One of them is Tosfos describes, we talked about yesterday, the concept of hipuch shvua, the concept that sometimes the shvua can be flipped around. Instead of Reuven swearing and being potter, for example, Shimon can instead swear and collect on the basis of that shvua. So now you can't be mahapich the shvua because morning Avraham Moshe. Suppose that you can't morning. Flip around the shvua, say because, for example, the one that you would be flipping it to is himself choshed al shvua. He's suspect of swearing falsely, and therefore you can't make such a person take a shvua. Then we'd say chozer shvua the mechuyav la. Then the shvua goes back to the one who's chayev, and if they can't swear, then they're going to have to pay, as the case may be. So now the husband would have a certain advantage in making his wife swear a shvur derabanan, in that if there is that situation, he may end up being able to get out of paying, or if it's a shvur daraisa and we're not able to flip it around, we're not able to say, let's say that he himself should swear and be potter because he's choshed al shvur. Then Tosfos discusses another point that b'chlau, can you even say, can you even do hipuch shvura with a shvura daraisa? So we talked about that yesterday. In fact, there is a machloikas in the Gemara about that in shvuras, whether with a shvura daraisa you can even do hipuch at all. Different achroinim talk about, so then why is Rashi explaining over here that a shvura daraisa does not, that a shvur daraisa involves holding a sefer Torah and a shvur derabanan does not. So there's different achronim, I mean, talk about different possible angles on it. Now Rashi himself, earlier in the sugya, when we at the beginning of the Gemara, in fact, explained that the difference between a shvur daraisa and derabanan is, as far as hipuch, is that a shvur daraisa you can't flip from one person to the other, but a shvur derabanan you could. So why all of a sudden is Rashi over here using a different explanation? So Marsha points out that a practical reason could be, since over here the Gemara is saying, if he's smart, then he's going to want to do this. Well, if it's a matter of just that he could or can't do hipuch shvur, sometimes that can work to his advantage. Let's say he might be better off with her doing a shvur derabanan and then being able to be mahapis. He might actually be in a situation then when he can swear and be potter. So therefore, for that reason, Rashi had to find a different explanation. And the Pnei Yeshua talks about also the point is that this whole matter of whether you can be Mahapa for Shavua Daraisa versus Derabanan is not agreed to by everybody. As we said, there's a Machloikas in the Gemara in Shavuos about that. There is an opinion over there. Ma Bravashi says you could even be Mahapa for Shavua Daraisa. There were even Rishonim who learned that the Halacha is like him. So therefore, Rashi preferred to give an explanation over here that works according to everybody.
This whole back and forth, she has a star in her hand, which is a silver.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't she have? I know I mentioned like a rate of value, but she has like super and a half. If you went ahead and paid her, why didn't you get a ADIS or have a receipt that you paid or something?
So it's a good point. It's a good point. But nevertheless, though, so now we just said that the Shavuah is Kedilah Hofis Daita Shabbat Abayim. It's true. We said in principle she shouldn't have to swear, especially because she does have a ksuba. But we said Midirabanan, though, to make the husband feel better. Listen, you know, he has reason to believe that he paid off the ksuba. I mean, we're not assuming that the guy's just blatantly lying and basting to get out of his responsibility. So therefore, so we tell her, you know what, take a Shavuah, it won't if you really didn't receive your ksuba, it won't hurt you. So now that was a Shavuah Dirabanan, but now the Papa is starting to say that he has a way, if he's smart, to actually bring her to swearing a Shavuah Daraisa. So that's what we were just discussing. What's the advantage of a Shavuah Daraisa over a Shavuah Dirabanan? Anyway, so what would he do? Yoiv lo ksubasa ba'ape chad sada. Let him pay her off for ksuba in the presence of one witness. Pei chesman al off the top. So he's claiming he already paid her ksuba. Fine. He only has, in this case, we're talking about he has one aid for it. This is the scenario we're talking about. He had one aid. Before we were talking about he had no aid him at all, but she was moed to mix us, where she said that she had received part of it. Here we're talking about he has one aid. So what he does is, so her papa says, let him pay her ksuba again in the presence of one aid, a different aid, the somich sada kama sada basra. Then what he does is he joins together the first aid and the second aid. He brings them both to Beis Din. So what happened? He brings with him, the first time he brings with him the aid, Reuven, who says that he paid off the ksuba. She denies it and says, I didn't receive it. So we're saying that she would have to take a Shavuah Dirabanan. Now, what does he do? He finds Shimon, pays her off the ksuba in the presence of Shimon.
Yeah.
Again. So wait, in other words, we're saying, let's say, for example, that she didn't, fine, she swears that she didn't receive it. So now he's on the hook to pay her. So now what he does is wait. So he pays her again. Then what he does is he brings these two Adim together to Beis Din, if she denies that she received the payment, then both. So now both of them are able to be giving eidos that she received her ksuba and umuki lahanach kamoi b'halva and umoikin lahu lahanach kamoi b'milva, and then the husband will now sue her for the first payment, and he's going to say, after all, it must be that I lent you money, that you borrowed money from me. After all, we see now I paid you your ksuba. So if you're claiming, so now the money that I gave you before in the presence of one aid was a milva. So now if she says I only received this time, so now you have the one aid testifying that she received the previous time as well. That's already a milva. There's no shibud kaukois on it because it was a milva al peh. And there's one aid against her. So therefore, now you're going to have a shibud daraisa. So now if, yeah.
I lost the.
Okay, so what he had one aid
for the first time.
He had one aid for the first time. One aid, she's denying it. So now we're saying that she would swear a Shavuah Dirabanan, and once she's sworn that Shavuah Dirabanan, then she has the ability to collect.
Right.
Now, what does the husband do? He wants to get her to swear a Shavuah Daraisa, either because, as Rashi said, a Shavuah Daraisa is more serious because it involves holding a Sefer Torah and using Hashem's name, or because, as Tosfos said, a couple of possibilities involving Hipuch Shavuah, that this way she can't say, you know what, instead of me swearing and collecting, if you really think you paid me, then you swear and be potter. Anyway, whatever the case. So now what he does is, he brings another aid and pays her in the presence of that one aid. Now, when they come back to Beis Din, if she claims she didn't receive the second payment, nothing doing, because both Adim are saying that she received a payment. It's not the same payment, but we're going to talk about that point in a minute. But they're both testifying that she received a payment of 1,000 zuz. Now what happens is, now he sues her for the original amount that he says that I paid you, and you're claiming that you didn't. Well, he's saying that's not a payment. That original one was milveh. After all, a ksuba, you've definitely received. We have two Adim backing me up that you received. We have Reuven and Shimon together saying that you received your ksuba. That's a payment of a ksuba. So therefore, necessarily, the other payment that I'm claiming you must have received must have been a milveh. Well, it's a milveh al peh. There's no shtar, fine. But I have one aid that you received that milveh. Therefore, pay up. Therefore, take a shvur d'oraisa or peya.
What happened? You have to have two A's together. You can't.
That's what the Gemara is going to ask. Must be flood of shisha braided of idi. So Rav Shishi, braided of idi, asked on that. Heyach somech sada kama sada brasra. How can you have that? How can the one aid and the second aid, how can they be joined together? They each saw a different payment. So if she denies both of them, then you still, in effect, only have one aid. So therefore, what's going to happen? She could even swear, and then she's going to collect a third time. That's not going to do the husband any good.
Now, if she swears,
then she can collect. Yeah. Now, Tosfos points out that so what? Why is the Gemara even bothered by that? The fact is, the Gemara and Sanhedrin discusses that maybe you don't need it. Maybe as the Gemara is saying over here, you don't in fact need the two Adim to have seen the same transaction. As long as each of them saw a transaction of 1,000 zuz between them, there is an opinion in the Gemara and Sanhedrin that they can join together. So maybe our Gemara is following that opinion.
So Tosfos
leaves the question open. Tosfos leaves the question open. A couple of the Mephoshim deal with their answers to that. One of them being the Pnei Yeshua talks about that. In fact, we learned the other day about the concept of sitroi, that when a person is paid off a debt, he has the right to claim that this was actually in payment of a previous debt for which you don't have a shtar, and therefore you still have this amount outstanding. So Rashi may be learning like that. The Gemara, the choice was asking really not so much on Rashi's explanation, but on the Gemara itself. The Gemara may be taking the view over here that if we do that, if we have the two individual edim, they didn't both see the same transaction. She can always claim sitroi. She can always claim it was a side. It was a different debt. So how is this going to work? Says Rav Shisha Breder Avidi. El Amr of Shisha Breder Avidi. Good morning. So rather, Rav Shisha Breder Avidi says, We're still continuing with what Rapapa says. Let's say that the husband has a reason that the husband wants to get her to swear a shvur d'oraisa, either again on the theory that a shvur d'oraisa being more stringent, she's more likely to say never mind, or as Tosfos is saying, because there can be cases involving hipuch shvur, involving where he can leverage hipuch shvua, or the lack of it in the case of a shvur d'oraisa, to his advantage. So Rav Shisha Breder Avidi says, here's what you do. Yovok subasa ba'apis sada kama this sada basra. What you do is let him bring the first aid as well as the second aid, pay her huksuba in the case in the presence of both of them, umukim olahana kamoi bahalba. And then say in Basin that the original amount he gave her was actually a loan, which is still outstanding. Now, only the first aid saw the first payment. Both of them saw the second payment. So now she can't claim that she didn't receive huksuba because the two aid him against her. The fact you're saying she has a document with her, that doesn't, first of all, not always is the ksuba a written document. We're going to talk about that later in the Masechta. Sometimes they just relied on Tanai Basin. But even if she has a written document, the written document is not contradicted by the fact that there were two adim saying that she was paid up. Okay, so why do you still have the document? Okay, I forgot to pick it up. Or, okay, you know, exactly. Yeah, what?
He forgot.
Yeah, he forgot. That's what I'm saying. He can say, for example, yeah. Anyway. I don't know, you know, it's a ksuba, you know, these things, you know, you have these old ksubas that you find in Jewish museums or whatever that are beautifully illustrated or whatever. I didn't want to take it away from you. It's a nice, you know, I didn't want to take it and rip it. I didn't want to take it and rip up such a beautiful thing. Anyway, whatever. So the point is now, meanwhile, the first payment was seen only by one aid. Okay, but the first payment, he's saying, wasn't the payment of the ksuba. It was a loan. You have one aid. One aid by a loan, you have to swear. So therefore, that's a shvur d'oraisa. No, that's the point. That's, we're trying to establish how he can make her swear a shvur d'oraisa. Now, the result is, in other words, she might say when he's bringing her to Beis Din again, you know what, I don't want to swear a shvur d'oraisa. So therefore, then she'll admit, you know what, I was paid, and then he's scot-free. That's the point.
It wouldn't be, I thought that's what it would be if she's a mother mixes.
No. Right. There's three ways of shvur d'oraisa. Two of them are relevant for our sugya. One of them is moed mitzvah. The other one is where there's eid echad.
Oh.
The other one is
eid. I'm not sure, but I didn't know it's
shvur. No, so that's the thing. So that's, we just said before. We learned from the pasuk la yokum eid echad be'ish earlier at the bottom of pezayin umabez. We learned from that pasuk, from the implication of that pasuk, that any time when two eidim would have made a person chayev to pay, then if there's only one aid for that same claim, then he has to take a shvur. So, and that doesn't even need modu mixtas, even kofa hakel. Kofa Hakol Midaraisa wouldn't have to take a shavua at all, only with the Rabbanon, as there was Shavuos Hesed. But if there's one aid and he's Kofa Hakol, he still has to swear because of that one aid.
Midaraisa.
That's what we're saying. Yeah. So Maski for Rav Ashi, but Rav Ashi asks on that. Still, wouldn't she be able to get away with it? She could claim that there were two different ksubas. Now, why would there be two different ksubas? So one possibility would be it was a large amount, and so she says Rashi doesn't explain. Rashi just says in Rashi that we have in front of us over here just says that there were two ksubas, and fine, I gave you back the ksuba for the one, but I still have the other one. Now Rashi doesn't explain over here why there would be two ksubas in the first place. Rashi, Madura Kama, that's brought in Shittim Kubetzes, brings a couple of reasons. First of all, it might be, she says, it was a very large ksuba. So I had Rachmanos on you. Instead of having one big amount where then you're going to have to pay one lump sum at a time, I had Rachmanos on you and I wrote it as two, I was willing to write it as two different shtaris so that you can pay it out piecemeal. The other possibility is she could be saying, the other possibility would be, we're going to talk about in the next parak, when a woman is divorced and then her husband remarries her, then usually the expectation is that they keep the same ksuba as before. But you can have a case, where she says, I'm only going to marry you only if you write me out a new ksuba. Meanwhile, the original ksuba has not been paid off yet. So she may well have two valid ksubas, one from her first marriage to him and one from her second. So Rav Ashi says, can't she claim that over here then? And then again, he's out more money. Elo, Amar Rav Ashi, who de moed alahu? So rather, Rav Ashi says, we can use Rav Shisha Breda Rav Idi's answer, but it has to be that before he does that, he informs the Edim, before he pays them, you should know, I already paid her in front of one of you, she's denying it, now I want to do this whole thing in order to manipulate her into a Shvur Daraisa. So now, once they heard him say that, So now, the Rav Ashi's question was that the one aid would back her up, that he saw that both payments were given to her as a ksuba rather than as a milva. So therefore, she could claim that you paid me off in front of the one aid, the first ksuba, and now, thank you, you've just paid me off the second ksuba. But now, if he informs the aidim in advance that the first payment was not, after all, l'shem ksuba, but rather l'shem milva, now the aid's going to know that. He's not going to back her up anymore. When she says, yeah, but when you paid me in front of the first aid was l'shem ksuba, that aid will say, no, you don't know. In fact, it was l'shem milva. So therefore, she won't be able to get away with saying there were two ksubas, especially Rashi points out that anyway, two ksubas is a very rare situation. So therefore, she won't be able to get away with it.
We have to ask the Eidechid, what was it? How many when you got paid?
So that's the thing. So now he'll say, now he'll say, well, the husband informed me that that payment that he said that he gave at the time was a milva rather than a ksuba. So now, it's not really changing because the point is he hasn't yet given the aiders. He did give the aiders. He gave the aiders that she had been paid. But at the time, he didn't know what it was. Now he's saying, now I found out that it was actually not a ksuba, but rather a milva.
Usually the aiders watching, he knows what's going on.
Yeah, but in this case, he can say, I found out. That's not necessarily Kim Chiyagid Shurvani Chozer Magid. He's not contradicting what he did before. He agrees that she received money. He's just saying she received it as a milva rather than a ksuba. There is, in fact, a point that some of the Mephoshim bring up over here that maybe we're earlier in the discussion over here, when we said with Shisha Breder of Idi's question, hey, Achsamich Sada Kamra, Sada Basra, there are Mephoshim who learn the question is not, like we said, how can you combine these two aidim where they saw two different transactions, but rather essentially, how can we use the one aid for two different purposes? We're using him to make her pay, as well as we're making her, we're using him to say that she received, the payment, as well as to make her swear because of Eid Echad. How can you reuse him for two different purposes? But anyway, so the answer is, in the end, we're saying that he's using him as part of two different aiders. In your papa's original suggestion, we used the first aid. We didn't bring him together. We brought him all together with the second aid to base him, but we didn't both have them see the same thing. Now, in the end, we're saying we have them see the same thing and then work from there.
And also, nothing wrong with having one aid see one transaction 1 year and 3 years later.
That's what Tosfos is saying. There's an opinion in Masechta Sanhedrin that works, right? Okay. We said in the Mishnah in a Chosim Meshabadim, we said another case where the woman has to take a Shavua when she's going to collect is if she's collecting from the Chosim Meshabadim, from property that the husband had previously sold. So now the Gemara says, like, and also we also said in the Mishnah also if she's collecting from the Chosim of Yisoyimim. So we're going to focus on that one. We're going to focus on the Nechosim of the Yisoyim. Tnan Chosim. Now we learn in a Mishnah in Shavuos, V'chein ha-Yisoyimim lo yiporu ela b'shavua. The Mishnah says they're Yisoyimim when they're collecting a debt. They can collect only with a Shavua. So the question is, Mimai. So the question is, who are we talking about that the Yisoyimim are trying to collect from that they should have to take a Shavua? Ilema miloiva. Are we talking about the Malva died? His Yisoyimim have now inherited the debt, and they want to collect the debt from the loiva, and we're saying they have to swear. Why? Hashda avi and shaka b'lo shvua v'inu b'shvua. What's the logic? Their father would have been able to collect without a shvua, and the Yisoyimim should have to take a shvua before they can collect. What's the logic?
Or they got paid.
Yeah, there can be. Now, there is such a thing as Shavua Seisomim, where they have to swear that, for example, our father didn't inform us before he died that the loan was paid. We didn't find among his papers any receipt for the loan, etc. But still, why should we be more machmer on them if he's collecting from the loiva himself that they should have to take a Shavua? Ela hachikamar. So rather, we have to understand that Mishnah to mean v'chein ha-yisoymim min ha-yisoymim lo yiporu ela b'shvua. It means if the one set of yisoymim of the malva are collecting from the yisoymim of the loiva, so both the malva and loiva had died, and the debt is still outstanding, so it's one set of yisoymim collecting from the other, then lo yiporu ela b'shvua. Then, since they're collecting from yisoymim, then therefore they would have to take the shvua of that our father didn't give us instructions and so forth.
There's too many
sfeikas. Yeah, we're talking all golem, yeah, because in general, Basin doesn't deal. In general, if a cotton, in general, Basin is not going to take. Basin is not going to accept a case against Katan. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rab Zrika, Amar Rab Yehuda, lo shonu el sha'amar yisoymim." That would apply only if the Yisoymim say, Omalanu Abba Lavisi or Parait, only if the Yisoymim of the Loiva say, our father told us before he died, I did borrow this money and I paid it back. And meanwhile, the Malvas, Yoshim, are saying, we have no evidence of it. So then we make them take a Shavua that in fact their father didn't tell them and they didn't find any such evidence and so forth. Abel Omru, but Reb Zrika says, if the heirs of the Loiva say, Omalanu Abba Loi Lavisi, that our father told us he never borrowed this money, then after Shavua lo yiparu, then we would say the Malva's heirs can't collect even with a Shavua. We would assume there's a concept in a Meshata B'Shasmi, so a person is not going to lie right before he dies, but he knows he's going to the Olam MS, he's not going to play games at a time like that. So therefore, we should assume that what he's saying is correct.
Lo yadvarim mo'olam.
What?
Lo yadvarim mo'olam. L'adam. Lo yadvarim mo'olam.
Lo yadvarim mo'olam. Right. But maskif lo Rava, but Rava asks on that. On the contrary, adrav kol ha'omer lo lavisi ka'omer lo paraiti dami. On the contrary, we have a rule in halacha that says that if a person says I didn't borrow, then it's the if a person says I didn't borrow, it's the equivalent of saying I didn't pay. Because what happens if he's saying I didn't borrow? Necessarily, it means I didn't pay. Well, they're saying you did borrow. And they're saying you did borrow and have a shtar or whatever it is to back them up. So therefore, on the contrary, if a person says loy lavisi, it's where he's worse off. So how can we say just because their father said I didn't borrow means that therefore now even if the Yoshim take a shavua that they shouldn't be able to be paid? Why not?
That's a statement.
Yeah.
If a person says
loy lavisi, it's the equivalent of saying loy parnait. Yeah. So the Gemara said. So the Gemara discusses it in particular extensively in Masechta Shavuos in the last parakim over there, which are all about these dinim of Shavuos, so of Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos Apikadon and whatever it talks about that a lot. Ela itma hochi itmar. So no, you have to say if this was said, then it was said as follows. In other words, let's correct the statement of Reb Zrika. Amr Reb Zrika, Amr Reb Yehuda, lo shanu ela sha'amru yisaimim onulanu abba lavisi uparait. This that we're talking about, that they can take a shavua and then they can collect, is only if the yisoymim of the loiva say that our father told us before he died, I did borrow the money and then I paid it back. But if they say our father told us I never borrowed this money, then nifroyin shaloi b'shavua. On the contrary, the original version of Reb Zrika's statement was they can't even collect the debt even with a shavua. even if they swear that our father didn't tell us anything, the Malvas Yoshim, that is. Now we're saying on the contrary, they don't even need a Shvur, because when their father says loy lavisi, it's the equivalent of saying loy paraiti, and therefore, in other words, so their father, in other words, is in effect admitting that he never paid the debt. Well, in that case, then they don't need a then the yoshim or the malva don't need a shvur in order to collect, even though they're collecting from nixi yisaimim. But in this case, there's a good clear reason to say that they didn't receive the payment, because we have the Hadas Baldin, Kamei Edim Dami, and his saying, I didn't pay, his saying, I didn't borrow, is the equivalent of saying, I didn't pay. Okay.
That's really dependent what the father tells them, you know, I don't owe anyone money, or...
That's the thing. We're saying, even if the father says, I didn't borrow money, we're saying the fact is, there, with that, he's implicitly admitting that he didn't pay, because he can't pay what you didn't borrow. He's saying I didn't borrow, and you're saying before Misa, a person's not going to lie. Fine, he may have forgotten, he may have thought, he may be confused, whatever. But the fact is, we have a Hadas Baal Din from him that he didn't pay. And therefore, that's reason enough that the Yisomim of the Malva can now collect from them without a
shul. Where's Das May coming from?
Where's the what coming from?
Hadas
Baal Din. The Baal Din himself, the Loiva, is admitting right before he died that he didn't pay off this debt implicitly by saying that I didn't borrow. It amounts to saying I didn't pay.
Well, most people throughout their lifetime borrow and pay back.
Okay, but
so when he forgot
that he borrowed, let's say, whatever it is, doesn't matter. The point is we have an admission from him saying that he didn't pay. Meanwhile, the Malva's heirs are saying he did borrow from us and he didn't pay back. So therefore, that's reason enough for them to be able to collect it. Okay. The Mishnah continued, Vinifras Shaloi Bifon of Leitipoda Ela B'Shvur. Another case is where she's collecting, another case where she has to take a Shvur if she's collecting the Ksuba not in her husband's presence. So for example, we said in the Mishnah, the husband is away in the Medina Sayyam, he's away in a faraway city.
That's when Bezin kicks in.
So that's when Bezin, well, so that's when if she wants to collect the Ksuba. After the divorce. What? It has to be after the divorce, obviously.
So she was Makabah.
So she received her get, but she hasn't yet. So the Gemara says, Omer of Achas Sar Habira. Rav Achas Sar Habira says, now Rashi just says on the word Sar Habira, Kach Kinuyoy. That's his nickname. Rashi doesn't explain what that means. And I've said different people have different possibilities. Basically, I mean, Sar means the ruler or the prince or something. And Bira usually means some kind of fortress. We find in some places in the Gemara where it actually is a nickname for the Beis Mikdash or part of it. Why he was called that, we have no idea. It's from this Gemara over here, based on the name of the Amora that we mentioned over here, Rabbi Yitzchak, who's actually Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha. Then it comes out he was one of the Amoroyim. He's long after the Churban, so he can't be Sarah Bira because he has anything particular to do with the area of the Beis Mikdash. So it may have been a hereditary title that his ancestors had that position. We actually find in a different place earlier in our Masechta, we also have Arab Acha Sarah Bira, but there, the way the Gemara phrases it makes it sound as though he was a Tana. So it could even be some historians think maybe there were two of Achas Sarabiras. So in that case, maybe the second one is a descendant of the first one and he inherited the title, or maybe they just gave him the title just as a title of respect or something. There's a pasuk in Nehemiah where he just
accepted the other Achas Sarabira.
Yeah, he's mentioned a few times in Shas, yeah. But I was going to say that there's a pasuk in Nehemiah, they bring in this connection, a pasuk in Nehemiah where he says that I appointed someone named Hanoni as the Sarabira. Where this is, we're talking about when they were rebuilding the walls of Yerushalayim, because the pasuk says he was an emistic person, the Yorei Selekim Merabim, and he had been a Yorei Shemayim for a long time. So maybe in the same sense, maybe they use Sarabira as a title of respect for an exceptional person like that who's also an Ish Emes and Yorei Shemayim.
So in the Tanakh, it is.
So in the Tanakh, it's he has an actual position, right? That Nehemiah appointed him.
In charge of the building.
And right. Anyway.
So maybe he was in charge of building a big.
So maybe it could be. Yeah. Anyway, whatever the case. So he says, Maisa Balafne Rabbi Yitzchak Ba'Antuchia, a case about this, about a woman wanting to collect her ksuba when her husband was around in Antuchia. Agoris Abach adds it wasn't just Rabbi Yitzchak, it was Rabbi Yitzchak Napfa, the Amora. Anyway, of Omar and Rabbi Yitzchak said, Loishonu Elo Ksubas Isha, this that we're saying that she can even collect, and that means that Beis Din is going to go take away his nechosim to pay for this, applies only when we're talking about paying a woman's ksuba. Mishum China. And the reason is, as we've discussed earlier in the Perek, because of the matter of China, we want to make it, according to, we said over there, Rashi explained And that chino means we want women to have a mental guarantee that they're going to be able to collect the ksuba, otherwise they're less likely to want to get married. Tosfos explained over there, brought from Rabbi Hanan, all the other way around, that it means we want women to have a certain amount of assets so they'll be more attractive as potential shidduchim. And we said the Oruch says that what it means is knowing that a sort of a hybrid between them, knowing that she'll be able to collect her ksuba, she'll serve her husband and do housework much more faithfully. Anyway, the point is, so only by ksuba sisha mishum chinah are we going to have this concept that you can collect when the guy who owes the money is not around. But if it's a baal choiv, then no. Then you say, based on, we'll tell him, wait till the guy comes back from overseas, and then you can deal with collecting it. We're not going to go take away nechosim from him without him being there. After all, maybe he has, maybe who knows? Maybe he has
put away
among his files. No, maybe he has among his files a shoiver, a receipt showing that he paid it off already, or something else, or whatever. Yeah. Or maybe he'll bring proof that your shtar is forged or whatever. So wait till he shows up. But the Rava, Amar of Nachman, after the Baal Choyv, Rava says in the name of Rav Nachman, no, even a Baal Choyv, we still apply the same rule. You don't want that any person is going to take somebody else's money in a loan, and then he's going to go live overseas where the guy can, and we're going to have to tell him, you have to wait till the guy comes back. You're going to end up, people are going to lock their doors when people come to borrow money because they're going to say, I don't want you to do that. So therefore, even in the case of a Loiva and Malva, you would do that. Tosfos actually brings from Rabbi Hananel that the halacha is not like Rava Amar of Nachman, but rather the halacha is like Rabbi Yitzchok Napfa. However, most of the Rishonim disagree with that and say that no, the halacha is like Rava Amar of Nachman, and therefore that yes, you can collect for a Baal Chov even when he's not in town. And Shulchan Aruch, it brings both opinions. It brings the first opinion as the primary one, and it brings the second one. It brings Rabbi Hananel's opinion as a yesho.
Do they make him swear that?
They might still make him swear, but still, the point is he has recourse in Beis Din, yeah.
Oh, he's not going to Beis Din, but Beis Din can make him
then
swear.
Then Beis Din can, right. Beis Din might be able to make him swear, fine, but nevertheless, he still has the ability to, rather than Beis Din telling him, wait till the guy shows up. There are rules in it. He has to have a shtar, and it has to be mekuyam. Beis Din has to be able to certify, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, about the whole matter of kiyum shtaris. They have to be able to certify that the signatures are genuine. And you have a number of other, he has to bring, if he wants to take certain nechosim, he has to bring solid proof to Beis Din that these nechosim actually belong to the loiva, or used to belong to the loiva, whatever. There's a number of details that you have in order for him to do that. But once those details are satisfied, then okay. The Mishnah had said, now, Reb Shimon omer kol zman shetevas ktubasim chola. Reb Shimon had said in the last part of our Mishnah, any time that she's collecting her ksuba, then the Yoshim can make her swear. We're talking about after the husband died and his Yoshim, Yarshim, the property. So if she's collecting her ksuba, then they can make her swear. But he said, but if she's not demanding her ksuba, then they can't make her swear. So the question is, Reb Shimon aheya, which part of the Mishnah is Reb Shimon referring to with this din? Omer Reb Yirmiya aho. So Rabbi Yirmiya says he's referring to the last part that we said before that in the Mishnah, when we said that if she's collecting when the husband's not around, she can do that only with a shvua. So Rav Shimon comes to, so the Tanakhama is saying, doesn't matter whether she's demanding in Beis Din mizonis, as an almona is entitled to, or whether she's demanding her ksuba. Either way, the Tanakhama would say she's collecting from the Yisoyim, so she needs to swear first. In the case of mizonis, in the case of mizonis, that she hasn't previously taken any of the husband's assets for herself for this, and in the case of the ksuba, also that, and also that she hasn't been paid off part of the ksuba already.
But if he has paid off, or she did receive money, then why she had the ksuba for?
Again, if she received the whole money, you could say the husband didn't have a chance to pick up the ksuba from her. Same as we said before. Yeah. So for also Reb Shimon Lameimer calls manchetivas ksuba. So now Reb Shimon would be coming and saying that as only when she's collecting her ksuba. Yosher Mashbianosa, only then can the Yoshin demand from her shvua that she didn't keep anything after their father died. We would apply, in other words, the usual rule of Aboli Parim Nixi Yisayim. But Eina Tevas Tsubasa, but Reb Shimon would be saying, if she's not actually right now demanding her ksuba in Yoshim Mashbianosa, then the Yoshim, if she's only demanding Mizonis and Beis Din right now, then the Yoshim would not have the right to make her take a shvua that she hadn't taken anything from her husband's property.
In the case of Mizonis,
the shvur would be that, for example, that her husband might conceivably have left her money. He might have left her money or a bank account or whatever to take Mizonis from in the future. Right. So now she's coming and saying, "There's no such thing." Then the Yosim can make her swear to that. So the Tanakhama would say for that, Reb Shimon would say, "No, for Mizonis we don't make her swear, right, only to collect her ksuba."
She's not going for the ketuvah for karka or something like that. She's just what
right. If we understand it that way, then it means that Reb Shimon and the Chachamim of our Mishnah are arguing about having the same argument as Chonon and the Bnei Koinim Gdolim, which we have in towards the end of our Masech. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah there. Misha holach l'medina sayam. If a man went overseas, it's going to be in the last parak of Amasekta. Misha holach l'medina sayam. If a husband went overseas, the ishte tevas mizonis, and his wife is demanding mizonis, which she says that my husband didn't leave me anything behind for mizonis, so I need you, Bastin, to go sell some of his property to raise money for my mizonis. Wait. Chonon omer tishavu b'sof, lo tishavu b'tchila. So Chonon in the Mishnah says over there, that she swears only at the end, but not at the beginning. Now the end and the beginning, it's a little confusing over here. The Rashi's over here on the first part of this are printed on Amud Aleph. But anyway, what we mean is when her husband dies or divorces her and she demands uksuba, that's when Chonon says that's when she would have to swear. But now when she's now batchila, while they're still married and she's demanding mizonis, she would not have to swear. So Reb Shimon will be following the opinion of Chonon. They're still married. He went overseas. She's saying he didn't leave me anything in the house. Therefore, I need mizonis. So now she wouldn't have to swear at that point yet that she didn't take anything from her husband. Later on, besoif, when it's time for her to collect her ksuba, then we're going to make her swear that throughout marriage she never took anything that she wasn't supposed to or wasn't partially paid off the ksuba or whatever.
You swear you're so best now.
Yeah, and the Mishnah continues. Nechloku ala bnei koinim gdolim. Actually, it's not so obvious that the shvur is in Beis Din. That's what we mentioned yesterday. There's Gemara in Gittin that says originally they would have her swear in Beis Din, but the swearing a false shvur has very serious consequences. And after all, she might have sometimes taken something maybe without even realizing it. So instead, what we do is we make her swear outside of Beis Din, where then the consequences are not as severe, or if it's in Beis Din, then instead we have her take a neder. If you ever took anything, then such and such payrus should be also to you, for example. Okay, so then she won't eat those payrus.
Nichlaku, I love
the anyway, point. The Mishnah continues. Just wait a second. The sons of the Kohenim Gdolim, and we're not just talking Stam simple people, these were also Tamid Chachamim. So they argued with Chonon, they say she would have to swear both at the beginning and both at the end. In other words, so when she wants to collect Mizonis, yes, she's going to have to swear that her husband didn't already leave her something for Mizonis. So now we would say, Reb Shimon Kachonon, Rabbonon Kibnei Kohenim Gdolim. So now Reb Shimon of our Mishnah would be following Chonon, and the Chachamim of our Mishnah, who say that she has to swear in order to collect mizonis from Yisomim, would be going like the Bnei Koinim Gdolim.
So
that's what it means. However, Maskeflot of Sheshes, but Rav Sheshes asks on that, Hi Yoshim Mashbianosa, then why is the expression that the Yoshim are making her swear based in Mashbianosa Mibolo? In that case, the expression should be that based in is making her swear. Because after all, the guy's not dead yet. He's only in Medina Siyam. So there's no Yoshim to talk about.
No Yoshim.
Tosfos actually brings up a question when we deal with this machlokas of Chonon and Bnei Koinim Gdolim in the last parak of our Masechta. We're actually going to mention that an opinion of Shmuel that says that actually we don't have to ain't posting mizonis la'ishas ish. When she's married, it's not Bastin's responsibility to arrange mizonis for her. If her husband went overseas, we assume he left her something, and if not, then fine, it's her responsibility. For the meanwhile, she'll work, she'll do maisi adair or whatever, and she'll raise money for herself. And afterwards, when her husband comes home, then she'll swear accounts with him.
He left about 30 days.
That's something else. That's if he doesn't want to feed her. If he doesn't want to give her, then he was talking about he left. He left on a business trip or whatever. She's claiming that he didn't leave her anything behind for food. So Shmuel says, we're going to learn about it on Daf of Zion, that Shmuel says that Beis Din doesn't have to get involved with that. So Tosfos leaves us Sorech Iyun, why the Gemara doesn't say it's like that. And different Rishonim talk about so then what does the Gemara mean over here, why it can't, why it can't explain like that. One explanation is that it means if Reb Yirmiyah is following Shmuel's understanding of things, then he would have phrased things differently in our Gemara. He wouldn't be saying that if she's not, that if she's demanding mizonos, Yoshin Mashbianosa or En Yoshin Mashbianosa, still he'd be using, there wouldn't be anything to talk about Yoshin because we're talking about the guy's alive. So Ela Omer of Sheshes Aho. So rather, Rav Shesha says, Rav Shimon's statement in our Mishnah about distinguishing whether she's demanding huksuba or whether she's demanding something else is referring back to the previous Mishnah that we had on Pei Vav Amud Beis. We said, Holcha Mekeva Baila. In that Mishnah, we talk about the various cases when she would have to swear in order to collect huksuba. And then we said there are cases where she's potter from swearing because the husband wrote her out a document that says that she's potter. So the Mishnah said over there, Holcha Mekeva Baila Lebesavia. If she went from her husband's grave, in other words, after her husband was buried, back to her father's house, or she returned to her father-in-law's house where she had been living with her husband, but she didn't become a trustee over the husband's nechassim, and then ena yoshim mashbianosa, then the yoshim can't make her swear that she didn't collect anything because now she's not a trustee over his estate, over his nechassim, such that they should have anything to be swear her on. But the imnasas apotropia yoshim mashbianosa ala osid lover bein mashbianosa masha over. If she did become an apotropia, so let's say her husband had appointed her an apotropia, as we said before, then the Yoshim can make her swear that they can make her swear on everything that happened after her husband died, but not on anything that happened while he was alive.
Not a matter of Gilgul Shvor.
They can make her swear before she collects Huksuba or before she collects anything from them that as an apotropa, she didn't take anything she wasn't supposed to. But they can't make her swear about anything that happened while her husband was alive. They can only make her swear about once her husband died, did she take any of the funds for herself. We learned actually in the Gemara before, we learned on Pei Zayin, that Rav Masna said that actually they can't sue her for anything until after the burial, because we want the burial to happen as soon as possible. We don't want her to think, I can't be bothered and then leave it to somebody else or whatever, but fine. In the Mishnah, we had said, the Tanakhama had said, they can only be mashpia her ala osid lover, vein mashpia no sa mashaber. Now, the osid of Shimon Lamemer. So now, Rav Shimon would be coming to say, no, even as far as ala osid is kozman shetivas tsubasa, only if she's demanding her ksuba, yoshin mashpia noisa, then the yoshin can make her swear for what she did as an apotropa. Ena tevas tsubasa, but if she's not right now demanding her ksuba, ena yoshin mashpia noisa, just for the fact that she was an apotropa, the yoshin cannot make her swear. Now, there is a concept in halacha. Usually, to make a person swear in Beis Din, you usually need a tainas bori. You need, like, for example, before we were talking about, the husband claims, I definitely paid you yuksuba, and she's denying it, or she, I paid part of it, and I paid all of it, and she's claiming I paid part of it, or whatever. There is something in Masechta Shavuos where it talks about, if you appoint somebody as an apotropa, you appoint somebody as a trustee of your estate, even if you only have a tainas shema, you're saying maybe during the time that you were an apotropos, you misappropriated some funds for yourself. I want you to swear that you didn't. That's a valid claim, and based on will make the apotropos swear. So now the Shimon is saying this concept that she should have to swear, a Shavuos apotropos, only applies if she's right now coming to collect her ksuba. But if right now she's saying, you know what, my ksuba, I'll leave for another time, and they're saying, yeah, but you were an apotropa, swear that you didn't take any money during that time that you were an apotropa, then we say, no, they can't. Rav Shimon is saying they can't do that.
Why not swear that your husband didn't leave your pack of money for food?
Right now, we're not talking about food. Right now, we're talking about an apotropa. Right now, we're talking about the husband at some point had appointed her that she is in charge of his affairs, that she'll buy and sell, and she'll run his businesses and for him. No, even while he was alive. So now the Yoshim want to say, is it true that you actually did things honestly and you never took anything for yourself that you weren't supposed to? So the Tanakhama would say, we learned in a previous Mishnah, unless he previously wrote her out a document pattering from swearing, then yes, they could make her swear about that. But he himself, we said in a previous Mishnah, could. And now the Shimon would be coming and saying that no, only if she's collecting her ksuba do the Yoshim have that ability, not otherwise.
After all, it's her mother.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. No, because it may not be their mother. Keep in mind, the man may have had more than one wife. She may be, we could be talking about the Yoshim. Yeah, we could be talking about the Yoshim from one wife. Meanwhile, it's the other. Yeah. So also Reb Shimon Lameima calls Mancha Tevas to Bossa Yoshin Mashbiyanoisa. So Reb Shimon will be coming and saying, as long as she wants to collect her ksuba, then the Yoshin can make her swear, Eina Tevas to Bossa, Eina Yoshin Mashbiyanoisa. The Kamifgi plugged to the Abba Shol Rabbanon. In which case, we would say that Reb Shimon and the Chachamim are arguing on an argument that we find between Abba Shol and the Chachamim. Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Gittin, Apotropos Sheminohu Avi Yisoyim Yishava. Now, there can be two ways that an apotropos is appointed over an estate. You can have where before the guy dies, he himself appoints somebody as an apotropos, or you can have where after he died and the Yoshim are Ketanim and they don't know how to manage things yet, then Beis Din will appoint one. So now the Mishnah says they were apotropos Sheminohu Avi Yisoyim, the apotropos who was appointed by the father of the Yisoyim, Yishava. Then if the Yisoyim later on want to make him swear that he didn't misappropriate anything, then they can do that. Minuhu Beis Din lo Yishava. But if he was appointed by Beis Din, then he doesn't. Then if he was appointed by Beis Din, then he doesn't have to.
He doesn't know anything
because well,
in favor.
So 1 second. Rashi explains on the basis of the Gemara over there that what it means is the Chachamim say if the think of it like this: if the father appointed him, the fact that he knows that later on he's going to have to take a shavua is not going to dissuade him from taking the position in the first place. Because why would the father be appointing him an apotropos over his children? Is obviously because not so much because he trusts him, but because he had some hanah from him during his lifetime. This person is being appointed an apotropos. The father must have done him some tremendous favor in the past, and therefore now out of gratitude he's willing to accept the apotroposship over his estate after he dies. And so therefore, so even if he knows that later on he's going to have to take a shvua, his sense of gratitude will make it that he's not going to avoid taking the position. But based in appointing him, the Tanakhama is saying over there, he might say, what do I need this hassle? You're appointing me an apotropos, very nice. But later on, I'm not taking a shvua that I didn't take a penny for myself. I can't be bothered. So the Tanakhama says over there that if Minul based in, we don't make him swear because otherwise he's not going to want to take the job in the first place. On the other hand, Abba Shol and Chiluf Advarim. Abba Shol says it's the other way around. Minu based in Yeshava, Minu Avi Yisayim Lo Yeshava. If based in appointed him, then we make him swear. Because he would say, the fact that the Dayanim of the based in trust me, this is a tremendous honor. So he's willing to do that, even if he knows that later on he may have to swear. As opposed to if the Avi Yisayim appoints him, it's no big deal. Okay, you know, some random guy decided to appoint me as an apotropos. I can't be bothered if I know that I'm going to have to swear later.
But on the other hand, first over here is getting paid, so that's
he may be getting paid, but even so, it's still a big hassle to swear afterwards and to keep the books down to every penny. And yeah, the Gemara in Gittin actually has a whole long thing about the responsibilities of the apotropos. He has very complicated responsibilities because he's dealing with things on behalf of the Yisoyim and Ketanim, so he has to be extra careful with everything he does. And he has to the Rambam phrases it at the end of Hilchos Nachlas. He says that the apotropos has to realize that the Eivishter is the Abi Yisoyim. So he has to be very careful. So Abba Shol says that if the father of the Yisoyim appointed him, and then he might say, I can't be bothered. Therefore, we're going to be making on him and not force him to swear. He's still going to have to be very careful with his account books, but at least we're not going to make him swear. But if he was appointed by Beis Din, the fact that he knows in the future he's going to have to swear, he's going to say, okay, you know what? But I'm willing to do it for the honor that the fact that the Beis Din of the city is willing to trust me. So, yeah.
So it's now, usually in Israel, it's an honorable person that they appoint as a...
Right. So, yeah, of course, they always do. So Beis Din is always going to find, the Gemara discusses the Gemara discusses it, they have the qualifications that are needed for an apotropos. So in fact, Tosfos points out over here, necessarily we have to say in our Mishnah, then when we're talking about her being an apotropos, we can't say that it means that Beis Din appointed her, because Beis Din is not going to appoint a woman as an apotropos. Among the qualifications for an apotropos, you have various qualifications that it discusses in the Gemara and Gittin over there, and one of them is going to be he has to be trustworthy, of course, but it has to be a man, because a man is more likely, if necessary, to come to Beis Din. He's more likely to. Women in general tend not to go to Beis Din as often. So yeah. And on the other hand, Tosfos says it can't be that she just appointed herself. So it has to be that the father appointed her to take effect after he died. So now, Reb Shimon ka Abba Shol. So now Reb Shimon is saying, like Abba Shol. So therefore, because because the Avi Yisraelim appointed him, according to Abishol, then, or in this case, appointed her, then therefore she doesn't have to swear, just the Shvoros Apotropsis. So when she wants to collect her Ksuba, she's not swearing on the grounds of having been an Apotropa, then she's swearing that I didn't collect any Ksuba all this time. Fine, they can be McGowgal into it, maybe that she didn't take anything as an Apotropa, but they can't make her swear about that exclusively, because that would be like Abishol. Rabbanon, Kerabbanon, the Chachamim in our Mishnah who disagree with Reb Shimon would be going like the Chachamim against Abishol and saying, on the contrary, the fact that she was appointed by the father, or in this case by her husband, means that she does have to swear. Because again, like the Chachamim said, out of a sense of gratitude, she would be taking the job. She wouldn't worry about the fact that she has to take a shavuot. Wouldn't dissuade her.
No, she knows that she's protecting her children.
Well, that again, it may not be her children. Keep in mind, it may be her stepchildren, but whatever. Okay. But Maskifla Abayas, Abaya says that's all very nice, but the problem with that is the Loshen of Reb Shimon. Hai calls Manchetev asks Subasa. The Loshen that Reb Shimon is saying, as long as she's collecting her ksuba. Now, what it comes out, according to this explanation, Reb Shimon is trying to be makel on her. The problem is the expression calls Manchetev asks Subasa sounds like, on the contrary, saying you Tanakama are saying that there's a case where even she wants to collect her ksuba, she'd be potter from a shavua. And Reb Shimon is saying, no, as long as she's collecting her ksuba, then she has to swear. So in that case, if Reb Shimon is coming to be mekel, im tovas mi boilo, the expression should be, if she's collecting her ksuba, then she has to swear. Because then it would mean that he's mekel. The Loshen that we're saying over here sounds like Reb Shimon is being machmer on her, that there's a case where the Tanakama would not require her to swear, and Reb Shimon is requiring her to. So El Amar Abaya, Aho. So Abaya says Reb Shimon's statement is referring back to the previous Mishnah. The beginning, rather, not so much in that. The same Mishnah as we said before, but the beginning of that earlier Mishnah. On Tei Vavon Beis, we said Kosev La Neder Shvoa in the Olaich. Aha, on this.
Aha,
it refers to this. The word ha means this.
That's spelled H.
Aleph. The Aleph is a prefix in Aramaic that means on. So aha means on this. It goes on this Mishnah. Kosev La Neder Shvoa in the Olaich. We said in the Mishnah that on Tei Vavon Beis that if the husband wrote her out previously a document that says that I'm not going to impose on you any neder shvur, ain't a yochel ashbiya chol. So we said he can't be mashbiya her, but the yoshim could. But he continues, neder, if he wrote neder shvur, ain't li v'lo the yoshai, v'lo la boim yoshusi, alayich v'al yoshayich v'al boim yoshusech. If he writes that I have no claim for neder shvur against neither me nor my yoshim, nor anybody who comes from my reshus. So we learned in the Mishnah, Rashi had said it means even people who bought from him, other Rishonim say that no, it's not including them, but it means other people that maybe that he assigned rights to or whatever. Anyway, and he says, there's no claim for neder shvur against you or your yoshim or anyone who comes from your reshus. So the Tanakama is saying over there that in that case, since he wrote out such a document, then when she wants to collect, even though she's collecting from the Yoshim, or even if her Yoshim are collecting from the Yoshim, then nothing doing. You can't make her take a shvur. But also the Shimon Lamema, now the Shimon would be coming and saying, it's not so simple. Calls Manchetev asks Subasa, Yoshim must be an Osa. No, if she's claiming her Ksuba, the Yoshim can still make her swear, even though he wrote her out that document. In which case, for Kamitzah, you'd be plugged to the Abishol ben Ima Miriam Rabbanon. In which case, they're doing the same machlokas as Abishol ben Ima Miriam and the Chachamim, which we learned on Daf Pei Zayin, where Abishol ben Abba Miriam said, the fact that the Chachamim said, when you're collecting from Yoshim, you have to take a shvua, then we can't override that with his tenach. So he may have written out saying that you're potter, but nevertheless, the fact that there's a Tachonis Chachamim means that that she still has to swear. So the Shimon would be holding like Abishol. Because that's the thing. So Abishol ben Ima Miriam would say that very nice, he made a tanai, but the Chachamim said, whenever you're collecting from Yoshim, you can only collect with a shvur. Therefore, that's how it is. Therefore, we can't override that. So now, Reb Shimon ka Abishol, but Rabbanon ka Rabbanon. So now, Reb Shimon would be holding like Abishol, so there's no way to override that when she's collecting Uksuba. The Chachamim would be holding like the Chachamim against Abishol. But, which in that case, by the way, Tosfos points out, if we learn like that, then it would mean that since we said before that the halacha is like Abishol ben Miriam, then it would mean the halacha is like Reb Shimon in our Mishnah as well. Anyway, so the Gemara continues. Maski for Reb Papa, but Reb Papa asks on that. Hotenach calls Manchetev asks Tzubasa. Fine, that explains the first half of Reb Shimon's statement that as long as she's collecting her ksuba, she has to swear. Ena Tevas Tzubasa, Ma'ik Lamema. What is Reb Shimon adding with the second part of his statement? As opposed to who? Who would say? Who would say that if she's not collecting her ksuba, she doesn't have to? She doesn't have to take a shua. Rather, the Papa says Rav Shimon is referring back to yet an earlier Mishnah, which we also had on Pei Vav Amud Beis, where we talked about that you have the case where the husband appointed her an apotropo or a chenvenis. He set up a store and put her in charge of it, and he said, and now Harez Mashpia calls Man Shiyutze. He can make her swear anytime she wants. And Rav Eliezer says not only on that, forget about Gilgul Shvor. But we learned in the Gemara that Rabbi Eliezer, we said that Rabbi Eliezer said he can even make her swear about the household jobs that she was doing. She was spinning wool. She was making bread. Did she not take anything of that? Rabbi Shimon said Rabbi Eliezer said he can make her swear about that anytime she wants. The Chachamim said no. We discussed in the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer is not even saying Gilgul Shvor. He's saying Mahatchila. He can take her to Beis Din just for that. So now, Reb Shimon is coming to say, not like a third opinion, not like Rabbi Eliezer, not like the Chachamim, he can't be Mashpia Kol's Man Sheyirtze, even about the Apotropa or the Chenvenis or anything like that. Only she can, they can only make her swear only when she's collecting her ksuba. So now, in other words, Reb Papa is agreeing with the previous, with Abaye's explanation of the first half of Reb Shimon's statement. But he's saying, so the first half is coming to tell us that even when he told her you don't have a neder or shvura, nevertheless, if she's collecting from the Yisoyimim, she still has to take a shvura when she's collecting Huxuba. And the second half of the statement says, when she's not collecting Huxuba, then we don't follow either Reb Shimon, or then we don't follow either the Chachamim or Reb Eliezer that says that he can make her swear while he's alive as an Apotropa or a Chenvenis or Pilko or Isasa or whatever. Rather, we can't make her swear on any. Yeah. She was not collecting Uksuba at that time, right? So therefore, yeah. So now here's where Tosfos says, if we say, again, if we're saying that one half of Rav Shimon's statement follows Abba Shaul ben Imam Miriam, and we said previously the halacha is like him, then Tosfos says the result is the whole thing would have to be like Rav Shimon, that we can only, the halacha would have to be like Rav Shimon in both aspects of it, that we can make her swear only when she's collecting Huksuba and not otherwise. So again, it does mention this concept in Shulchan Aruch. The halacha in the end again is like Abba Shaul, that he can make her swear when she's collecting mezonos, for example, from the Yisoyimim, but when she's collecting Huxuba, then it'll depend what he wrote out for her, whether he wrote out that he's exempting her from a shavua or not. Sure. And as far as an apotropa or whatever, he can't. As far as an apotropa, I think it says in Shulchan Aruch two opinions whether he can make her swear about that any time or not. In other words, is the halacha in the end like Reb Shimon or not?
So the first part, everyone agrees. It comes to saying you have to swear. If she's demanding her,
that's Reb Shimon saying that. That's the thing. Reb Shimon is saying, like Abba Shaul ben Imam Miriam, when she's collecting from Yisoyim, regardless whether she's collecting suba or mezonos, either way she's going to have to swear because she's collecting from Yisoyim.
Right, and that's
Masna Masha. Right, it's not so much Masna Masha because Batura, because Shemom and Shnoi. But Abba Shaul says the fact that the Chachamim said that you always have to collect when you always have to take a shvur when you're collecting from Yisoyim means we have to hold you to that. The Yisoyimim themselves can waive the shvur if they want, but they're not obligated to. But now the second half of Rav Shimon's statement was saying, he's saying that the husband, when he's alive, if he wants to be swear her over the fact that she was a chenvenis or apotropa or what have you, he can't do that. Rav Shimon is saying unless she's collecting huksuba, but not when he's just he can't make her swear the regular shvur apotropsis as long as it's just a matter of her having been an apotropa.
And that's, I mean, the meaning behind the reason for that is because it's a.
So the idea behind it would be because, maybe because of Ava, maybe whatever. Yeah. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.